Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the February 12th edition of the Hughes Sports Podcast. I am your host, of course, Jake Hughes, alongside the old man who is having, I think, some technical difficulties and will be with me shortly. But we are here. We are your irrational fans. We cover the CFL, BC Lions, Canucks, basically everything surrounding the Vancouver sports markets. And sorry, I'm trying to... We are, again, having some technical issues, so I apologize about that. However, we are in the process of getting things started, so let's just jump into some news from this last week. It was a very busy week here in Sportsland. I don't know if you guys heard, but there was a big game this week. And this big game that we're talking about is obviously the Canucks playing midday yesterday, 10 a.m. start time Pacific. It's not a fun time to have a game start that early, but it is a time to have a game starting. Before we jump into everything, please, I want to remind everyone, you can hit that like button if you're watching live here on YouTube right now. If you're listening pre-recorded or post-recorded and you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere, please give us a thumbs up, hit that like button or subscribe button. Let us know we're doing a good job by giving us a five-star review. It really does help the show in the biggest of ways. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about the game last night. I am stalling a little bit, waiting for the old man to show up here, as everything is just slowly rolling along. As he says, "Oops," he's old in his technology. It's not his fault. But let's talk about. I made a bet last night. I'm gonna pull it up here. Something that you guys may or may not know. I love to make a lot of bets. I made a bet last night. It was a five leg parlay. You know what? That is fair. It's only a 4-star because DJ did not make it today. However, DJ, we are going to shout you out later on the show, so stick around. I made a parlay bet on the big game last night with Christian McCaffrey score of any time, Travis Kelce over 69.5 receiving yards, Patrick Mahomes over 229.5 passing yards, under 47.5 on the game, and the 49ers winning. And God, I was close. It came down, that blocked, it all comes down to that blocked field goal. If that blocked field goal doesn't happen, I'm sitting here gloating about how great of a bet that was. Because everything else hit, the game ended at 47 points on the dot. The only thing I missed was obviously the Kansas City Chiefs winning, or sorry, Taylor Swift winning the Super Bowl. It's so close yet so far. It was a good bet too. It was with all of those parlay, not a crazy parlay. Something I think that's definitely doable. I got 10-1 odds on that. So if I hit my bet, I would have been a very, very happy man. But the Kansas City Taylor Swift's ended up winning the game, and we lost it there. You are having an echo there, old man. Please.
No, I'm not.
All right. Thank you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. We missed you for the first 5 minutes of the show.
Everything was fine. I was sitting here. We were talking. Everything was fine. You put on the silly music.
Which isn't silly. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It isn't silly. It's a great song. It's a great song. And I'm dancing to it. Boom. Everything goes haywire.
You hit a button?
I didn't do nothing.
I don't believe you for a second.
I didn't touch a thing.
And anyone who knows you knows they shouldn't believe you for a second.
Didn't touch a thing. It messed up. So I did hear you talking about your bet.
Yes. We were one off on the bet.
I realized what happened there.
What, you didn't realize what happened where?
No, I realized why you lost your bet.
Oh, I know why I lost my bet.
Because D was cheering for the wrong team.
He was cheering for the wrong team the entire night.
Way to go, D.
It's because they were red and they looked like the Stampeders. That was her excuse.
That could be it.
That was her excuse.
Yeah, I don't know.
But welcome back. We missed you last week on the show.
Yeah, I had to do some family emergency stuff. I had to fly down to Fort Lauderdale and look after my bro, but he's all back and everything's good. And I went to Fort Lauderdale for a week and didn't get to see nothing but the hotel and the hospital.
I mean, it could have been a way worse place to end up going.
But like I posted, you know what? If you have to drop everything and go help your bro.
You have muted yourself, by unplugging your microphone. You're back now, though, so be careful with that button. There you go. Stop touching things. As soon as you touch things, things go haywire. Hands up. Hands up where we can see them. Let's jump into it. We talked about it. The Kansas City Taylor Swifts are your Super Bowl champs. Thoughts on the game? We watched it together.
It was a fun game. I mean, it was a slow start, as usual, for the Super Bowl, it seems. But it sure provided some entertainment at the end. Went into overtime, and don't trust the old man near a mic. That's what they say. That's what they say there, D. But it was an entertaining game, I thought. I know you were getting kind of angry at me when I said it was like one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Again, you've now had 24 hours to think about this. Do you still say it's one of the best Super Bowls you've seen?
Probably not. Probably the Seattle one was probably better.
Well, I mean, we're also biased being Seattle fans.
Yeah, but
it was the first half was a snooze fest. Let's not kid ourselves.
Most of them are.
But that's what happens. That's what happens when you allow an extra week to play your all-star game and allow your teams to rest and strategize.
Yeah.
Football game is over-strategize
and over-coach and overdo everything.
And then the players are overthinking things and it slows the game way down.
Well, and I mean, Mahomes was just that some of the mistakes, if you want to call them mistakes, oops, or drops and was like, whoa, what are you doing, dude? You're playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And even the announcers, it's not just us who don't watch a lot of NFL. The announcers were even commenting on how bad of a of the gaffes were happening from the Chiefs. Like, it was just missed snaps. It was...
But we did have... I mean, it was a fun game to watch the second quarter. Halftime was blah, in my opinion. What we watched of it, I mean, we had people over, so we weren't paying that much attention to it, but we were paying some attention to it, and it was okay. Second half was, I thought, great. It was entertaining.
I still think it was the fourth quarter. The third quarter, I don't remember much of. Like, there wasn't many big plays. It was still kind of the same methodical pace. And then it was the fourth quarter where it was like, oh, okay, the Chiefs are deciding to actually make a football game of this.
Yeah, for sure. So, it was fun. I enjoyed it, all in all, overall. I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, I think
it was Super Bowl.
I'm saying, yeah, it's a typical Super Bowl. I bored until the end, and everyone's like, oh, it wasn't a bad game. That doesn't make it a good game.
Sorry, my chair seems to be sinking. Hold the phone.
Again, guys, we can't let him near things. Everything's breaking today. We're gonna put him in a rubber room. We're gonna put him in a rubber room and keep him away from everything.
D says the Usher halftime show was good. Now, the only reason she's saying the halftime show was good is when Usher took his shirt off, and I thought she was gonna jump through the TV.
It's true. It's true. And then was very disappointed when he did a quick change into
change was that though?
Everyone at the house was like, oh my God, I can't believe how quick that change was. He was off the screen for like 3 minutes. He was off the screen for an entire song.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I thought it was quicker than that.
No, he was off. Like, don't get me wrong. Still impressive to go from like whatever the hell he was wearing into like a skin tights, whatever the hell he was wearing, and rollerblade, or yeah, roller skates. But
now, I mean, I say it was okay halftime show. I mean, it's not my type of music, so I'm kind of biased, but it was okay. I mean, all in all, yeah, let's give it overall, I'll say 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That is exactly what happened, Dom.
One sec. Looks up the Usher show.
He wants to go take a look at Usher.
Wow. Okay.
Let's jump into some Vancouver Canucks conversation.
If you're not watching, I just broke Jake. I literally just broke Jake. I don't know what happened to him. Oh, my goodness. So in all fairness, I know he's listening. He just had to go off stream because he lost himself. I didn't get a chance to watch all the games this week, but I did catch highlights, and I watched yesterday's game, and I watched Saturday's game partly. I'm kind of freaked out because we kind of have lost our... Oh, he's back.
I'm back. We made it through.
Oh, you're not broken.
Nope, we made it through.
Okay. The last three games, haven't been the best, I'll say. They're 1-1-1.
Last four games. 2-1-1.
2-1-1. I mean, still, you can't complain with being 2-1-1. We're nitpicking now. But
that's what you need to do as a good team. That's what you do.
And the thing is, like, they've now have given up they were leading the leagues with scoring first.
Yeah, it's been six games in a row that we haven't scored first. And a handful of those games, we've been scored on twice before we answered back. And the last three games, before the 2-minute mark, there have been goals.
Two
of those three games were within the first minute.
And
the third game was 1:08. So I couldn't say all within a minute. But pretty damn close.
Pretty darn close. Not prepared, reading too much press. He's breaking again, folks. He's breaking. I can see it. He's trying to hold it together. Stop reading your messages. The All-Star break, I think, affected us in ways that I didn't think it would. And our power play is just gone. We're being scored on shorthanded, left, right, and center. It's like, what the fudge, boys? Get it together.
It took us
a new week.
Let's be fair here. It took 36 games for us to give up a shorthanded goal.
Yeah, but then we gave up like three of them in a row.
Which is okay. We went 2-1. We got 5 points in four games.
I know. That's what I mean. I mean, we're still...
Don't get me wrong. I think we still have there are definitely issues with the team right now, but I don't think the issues that we have with the team are the issues we have with the team aren't backbreaking. This is the flow of hockey. This is the variance in hockey that I've been saying, get ready, the wheels are gonna fall off. But we're deep enough into the season now with a big enough lead that we don't have to worry about that.
That's true. I got visitors today. How does everybody like our visitors?
Again, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out on like half of the show today.
This is Bella. The other one was the crackhead devil dog.
My dog named Oliver.
Ollie. Where's Ollie?
She's gone now.
Like I say, she's kind of a crackhead devil dog, but she's cool.
Don't get me wrong. There are issues within the... within the Canucks game right now, but I don't think it's issues that are big enough for us to be actually concerned. I think we're all concerned about continuing the track that we're on, and we still are, but we're nitpicking the fourth line. We're nitpicking. I mean, we're going to talk about it later. There's a lack of scoring from our top players, but we're getting goals from Hoglander, and we're getting goals from Bluger and Joshua and the players who we need to score on games where we don't have our big players playing.
Oh, I totally agree. And I mean, if we have to go into a mini slump,
Now's the time to do it. Not just for like, okay, like at least we get out of this slump and hopefully we can get everything back rolling 100% after the trade deadline into the playoffs. Yeah. Do it now. So that way when the team, the owners or and the GMs are looking at, okay, how can we improve this team? They're making meaningful changes still. They're making a middle six instead of a bottom six addition at the trade deadline. Yeah. Rick Dhaliwal reported earlier this week that the Canucks are poking around on Phil Kessel.
I saw that. Now, Phil Kessel is sitting on the sidelines right now, is he not?
He has no contract.
He's got no contract. Now, I know does he live in Vegas?
I don't think so.
He's a good friend with Daniel Negreanu.
No, he is born in, I'm going through everything here. He's from Wisconsin, so I don't know where he lives right now, but.
Anyways, I don't know why I had to bring that up. It's just in my head, and I had to blurt it out before it got lost. Good addition? It depends what we can get him for. Pay him 1.5 mil for a season?
No, I don't think you don't have to pay him that much. You pay him league minimum. He's got no contract.
Well, that's right. And he's sitting on the sidelines. A, is he going to be in shape? B,
Phil Kessel is never in shape. He is an anomaly to science. The man should be studied when he's done his playing career. There should be a documentary on him right now. A Netflix crew should be following him around. He is an anomaly.
36?
He's 36 years old.
Yeah. So,
right. Like he's got 992 career points in 1,200 games, 83 career playoff games and 100 playoff games played.
That's what I was just going to say. He does add that experience, and he could be the locker room leader without having a C on his, shirt.
And if we have to put him in, like, you know what I mean? A player goes down with an injury. Oh no, we have to put Phil Kessel into our middle six.
Oh, well.
He's the type of player who I think will do well in the system. Rick Tocchet, Alvin, and Rutherford all know him because he played with them in Pittsburgh for a bunch of years where they won a cup together.
Yeah.
So they know they're not going to get the Phil Kessel of 2015, but Phil Kessel in 2024 is still valuable.
The Phil Kessel from 10 years ago.
No,
it's not that. What you're going to get is experience.
You sign him on March 8th, right? Say you sign him March 8th, which is trade deadline day, the last day he can sign a contract.
Yes.
You have him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks of regular season. So you play on average 3 games a week. I'm not actually looking up the schedule. Say 3 games a week, 15 games. If he gets 5 games, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
If he gets up to speed, learns the system, and is able to play 5 games, and then, hey, look, like, our bottoms 3 aren't going to be perfect in playoff hockey. We know that. There are issues with our fourth line.
Yeah.
Can we put Phil Kessel in for a game here and there?
Why not?
In the playoffs? Or in that down the stretch for us to clinch a President's Trophy or top seed in the Pacific? Hell yeah, do it.
Yeah, right.
But you need to wait. Big thing, I think, you need to wait until trade deadline day. Because what happens if a Casey DeSmith goes down with an injury? A Thatcher Demko goes down with injury? A JT Miller goes down with injury?
Yeah.
I'm knocking on wood here.
Why? Like, seriously, why are you putting that out there?
Because it has to be talked about. Dude,
you know how this works. You put shit out in the universe.
So it happens. It's going to happen. We're going to get an injury. Is it a long-term injury? Is it a short-term injury? Yeah. Who is it to? We're going to deal with injuries. you need to hold the cap space that we have right now for a trade just in case.
Just in case.
Again, worst case, best case scenario of the pieces I'm thinking about that could get injured, it's Casey DeSmith, our backup goalie. Okay, you can go out and you can pick up a backup goalie for nothing too crazy, but you need the cap space to make that work. Right? So I don't, like, usually Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin are going to be very, very active. They've already made their splash. They made their big splash by getting Zadorov way earlier in the year, and then they made their big splash with Lindholm.
Do you think they're done?
No.
I think they're waiting. Still looking on defense.
I think they're, if there's a trade to be made, it won't be made until closer or on deadline, on trade deadline.
When is that?
March 8th. I don't know why I say that very confidently, but that is the day in my brain that comes out. Friday, March 8th.
March 8th. So we don't got real, I mean, it's getting close.
One, two, three.
A month.
Three and 4 weeks. Yeah, a month.
Yeah, a month left. Knowing the Canucks, they like to be ahead of the game. They don't like chasing. I would expect something done by the end of the month.
No, I don't.
You don't think
because,
so?
Because our cap, because we're so close to the cap, and you, as a management team, if you make these moves and then you're capped out and you can't, you have to call up someone from Abbotsford who doesn't have a lot of experience and might not be ready to play backup in case the injury is bad enough into the playoffs. Well, now you look like an idiot.
Yeah, but you're not going to, I mean, you've got a plan for it, but you're not going to turn things down because of it. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think you're going to turn things down. I think you're going to say, hey, let's talk about this in a week.
But then it's going to be gone. Somebody else is going to.
That's fine. There's no. You don't need. You're first in the league. Do you need to be making moves? No.
No, I mean,
and that's the attitude you have to be going into these trades, is that these other teams are coming to you to sell you their pieces.
But you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. And I mean, last week you were, 2 weeks ago, you were saying that they can't be done. They need a defense, that blah, blah, blah. Now you're saying, well, we don't need to do anything.
We don't, again,
you can't have it both ways.
We don't need to do anything. It would be, it's a very nice to have. To, if you want to win a cup this year, you need to make changes.
Well, that's, and I mean, isn't that our goal?
I mean, our goal was to be barely make the playoffs and we would have been happy.
Well, yeah, but that's changed now.
There's no goal. Like, who
that's
knows?
That's changed now. We all know that. Our expectations are a lot higher now, three quarters of the way through the year, than it was.
But then what are you, like, and so what are you willing to give up to make those changes is also a very important piece. Like, if you're, yes. if you're making a hockey trade, where it's cap in, like, player for NHL player for NHL player, I think that's way more likely than a trade I'm thinking of where I'm saying you have to wait.
Well, that, I mean, I'm looking like you're going to try to get a Tanev, who is probably going to be a rental player. I would think it would be a rental player.
Yeah, because well, his contract is up at the end of this year. So
yeah, but a lot of times when you make a trade like that, you can extend that contract right away. Right? Even if not, a rental player, I mean, you could go one for one.
Can you?
Yeah, why like, not?
But who are you trading? You're not giving up Myers. I'm sorry. You want to give up Myers. You can't.
I'm looking on the other side for advice.
Let's look at tangible evidence. What tangible evidence do you have that we need to get rid of Myers, other than the fact that he is chaos draft and every time he touches the puck, I freak out?
That's a good reason.
Not from a statistical standpoint. Not from the fact that he's having a career year playing third line minutes.
What's his plus minutes? What's his plus minus?
I'll look it up.
Probably, I'm going to guess, he's probably one of the lowest plus minuses on the team.
He's a plus 12.
Is he really? I didn't think it would be that high.
Oh, it's almost like I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, stop your fucking shit.
By plus minus is what you want to know? No, Elias Lindholm is the worst plus minus, but he hasn't been on the Canucks the whole time.
Yeah, you can't use him.
Noah Juleson, minus one. Nils Åman, zero. Ilya Mikheyev, one. Philip DiGiuseppe, 4. Mark Friedman, who's been in and out of the lineup, has only played 19 games, plus
Isn't
4.
Is Giuseppe in the lineup all the time? I don't think so.
34 games. The only reasons he was out is because he was injured.
Oh, really? Okay.
He was playing with Miller and Besser to start the year.
True enough. True enough. Yeah.
Teddy Bluger, plus 10. Connor Garland, plus 12. Pia Suter, plus 12. Tyler Myers, plus 12. And then Hoglander is plus 13. Pettersson and Joshua are plus 14. Lafferty is plus 15. Brock Besser, plus 19. JT Miller, plus 22. Then you've got Quinn Hughes and Philip Hronek at plus 35. And plus
yeah, 15. I know. DJ, I agree that Jake is now going to put Tyler Myers up for the Calder Trophy.
No, I'm just saying he's having a career year. Don't get me wrong. Every time he touches the puck, and you can ask people, I freak out every time he touches the puck anywhere near our own nets.
Yep.
But statistically, he's playing very well right now.
I wouldn't mind seeing him traded. I've said it numerous times. I'm just repeating myself.
This goes into like the things that we're talking about is the lack of scoring from the Canucks here. There's, I mean, looking at our top six, not even our top six, our top four players with Miller and Besser, Hughes and Pettersson. Hughes and Pettersson are under a point per game or at a point per game in the last four games. Brock and Miller, 2 points only.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but we're still finding ways to win. That's, and it's hard because I want to find a way to talk, be like, something needs to change, but how can you complain?
Yeah, I mean, I watched Hughes in the, was it the game we lost outright? Was it the Boston game? No, because I stopped watching that and I just listened. I forget which game it was, but I'm not picking on Besser or Miller, but Hughes was like, what are you doing with a puck, dude? He was over skating it. It looked like he was on bricks trying to skate. Is it the mid-season slump? Is it the dog days of February? I don't know. And again, I mean, we can't complain.
But we can.
We're 2-1 and one. No, you just said it. You just said we can't. Yet when I say it, you said we can't.
Okay, no, we can't complain, but we can because we.
You're arguing for the sake of arguing at this point.
No, I'm not. I'm literally saying we know what this team can do when they're clicking on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing this team not click on all cylinders and still come out with wins, it's like how do we argue against that? But at the same time, it's like, well, but Besser could be playing better and Miller, but then. But then Hughes will take a break. Like, it works out. I don't know what they're doing and how it works, but it's working.
It's almost like it's next man up, I'll say.
Yep. 100% right? Is what it's like.
And not like one goes out and another player has to come in. It's just if player A isn't going to score, player B will score. If player C isn't scoring, player D will score. It's just...
Well, and even not even that, but it, like not even just recently, but looking back...
Same
it's
thing.
Been that way all year. It's been, okay, Pettersson, Kuzmenko, Mikheyev's not scoring. Okay, then it's Brock Besser and JT Miller and whoever their lineman is, linemate is at the time. Oh, those two lines aren't scoring? Okay, Lifeline, you're up. Garland, Bluger, and Joshua. There was multiple times in the game yesterday. Who did we play yesterday? We didn't play Detroit yesterday.
We played Washington yesterday.
Where Joshua and Bluger just took the puck and said, no, this is ours, and we're going to hold it behind the net. There wasn't anything flashy about it, but they just went out there and said, no, this is our puck now. We're going to control it. And it's been so long since we've had a team on the Canucks that are able to do that, where, okay, you have pressure. We're going to put these guys out. They're going to take the puck. They're going to get a couple shots on net. They're going to maybe get one high-danger chance in a game, probably score on it. But they're going to go into the offensive zone on a forecheck and grind you out until we have the puck again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a nice thing to see from a team that has been just perpetually terrible for.
Well, you look at the Hoglander line. It's insane how good they are at forechecking.
That's so Hoglander is now on. Hoglander's moved up from the fourth line to. First or second line now, depending on who's playing. The Garland line. Garland Joshua.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were in the middle of saying.
Nope, go ahead. Continue.
No, I was just making sure we were talking about the right line.
Okay. Whichever line that is, amazing at forechecking. So I'm trying to think what line it is, and I can't. So all good.
All righty. Anything else on the Canucks before we jump into the Zadorov suspension?
I don't think so. I mean, how can we, like you keep saying, we're nitpicking at this point. It's
which is the complete opposite of every other year where we're like, all right, so trade everyone and what can we do? New coach bump. We don't want this new coach bump. We were like last year on the podcast, we're like, do we want the coach bump has started. Do we really want this? Or are we
going on a card? Right. It's just one of those. If a slump is in the last four games, 2-1-1, if we're calling that a slump. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the one loss we had, it was a 4-0 blowout to the Bruins, which hurts more than anything.
Yeah.
Does the old man have anything to say about his 4-0 prediction last week? Yeah, I texted you while you were down and you said your prediction was 4-0-0.
I would like to see that text because
I would go back
on Wednesday.
You might have been drinking. But no, talking about your predictions, let's jump into the predictions first. You're on a roll.
DJ, hold on. DJ brings up this whole prediction because he gets 1 week right, and all of a sudden he's the predictor. Set the old man back into his old man home, and DJ's now the predictor.
To be fair to DJ, if you did watch the show, he said he was channeling you to make the predictions.
I wasn't watching the show, but DJ, you're the fill-in. Remember that.
And we do appreciate you filling in, because otherwise it would have been me just talking at a camera for too long, and no one likes that too much.
Yes. Thank you, DJ.
But he did
predict.
He did predict a 2-1-1.
And we win it.
And now since you've made the prediction since the beginning of February, we have gone 4-1-2. That I don't think that's right. I don't know when you made that prediction.
It was 25-8-3. It was from All-Star forward.
Right. Yes. Right. Right. End of February. Yeah. That makes more sense. So we're 4-1-2 since you made that prediction, which means we only have what, 7 more losses and 1 overtime loss left in the season.
Which when you look at it, we only have 29 games left.
That seems so short.
But it right? I looked earlier. We're at 53, so that's 29 games left.
Yep.
And if we're going to lose 7, like outright lose 7, so there would be like win 3, lose 1?
Every week would be... It depends if we play 3 or 4 games in a week, but yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's doable. I'm worried about the one overtime loss, but we don't do overtime.
No, we
haven't. Let me rephrase that. We haven't done a lot of overtime except this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're now at 8 overtime games total.
Yeah, where other teams they have like 9 overtime losses.
I think that's like I think you're looking at Calgary mainly on that one, but yeah, they play a lot of overtime.
It's like holy crap.
I think at this point they don't want to win, so when they get 1 point, they're just happy. They're like, hey, look at that, we got a point, time to go home.
That's funny. Oh, I didn't tell you this. Speaking of Calgary, the difference between Canada and Fort Lauderdale. Anyway, and I say Canada as a whole, because you could be anywhere in Canada, and if this happened, it would be a totally different scenario. And I have a witness. Jack is my witness of this actually happened. We were sitting having breakfast on Friday, yakking away about hockey, actually about our podcast and about hockey. And for some reason, we started talking about the Tkachuk. And 5 minutes after we talked about him, this guy walks by, and I went, that guy looked really familiar. And he walked kind of in behind Jack. We were sitting outside and got into this big giant truck. Like, get out. And I had to Google it to check. I'm talking, there's 25 people sitting outside. I counted them afterwards.
And not one person.
One person even looked. I swear to God, he probably saw me, recognize them, and went, oh my God, somebody knew who I was.
He's like, oh shit, just keep walking. He's got to be Canadian. Just don't make eye contact.
That doesn't happen.
No, in Canada, you imagine? Could you imagine?
He walks down the street, he's bombarded.
Well, and especially in like bigger markets like Calgary. I mean, I guess all of the Canadian markets.
Anywhere.
A fourth line player goes out and they're getting recognized and bombarded.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone a Matthew Tkachuk.
Yes.
That's wild.
Did I tell you that yesterday? Did I tell you? No, I didn't think I did. I kept meaning to. And then, of course, you get yakking. And yeah.
Wait, we get yakking?
No.
No.
Not us.
No. Someone who probably had to do a little bit of yakking when he got pulled into a phone call with Department of Player Safety.
Yeah.
Zadorov. I do have the clip of the hit. Let's show it, Kat.
Yeah, show it, because I looked at it about 10 times after you sent it to me.
So we have no audio on this, so I'll talk over it as we're going here.
Why isn't there audio?
Because I have it muted, because it's... yeah. So Raymond takes a puck in here over the blue line, and you can see... Oof. And just at full speed there, it looks like he just clips him.
But
you can see here, and this is why I want to choose this video... He makes a conscious effort. He goes in for a poke check.
And he goes lower.
And he goes lower to take the hit instead.
Now look at his eyes.
The initial contact is with his head.
But you look at where his eyes were looking. He was looking at the man's head the whole entire time. He lined his shoulder up. It was a targeted hit to the head. Now the question is, what's the suspension?
It was 2 games.
Has Zadorov had been suspended before for a dirty hit?
I don't believe so. I could be wrong on that.
If you had let that run, they come up and say,
"Oh, it does."
Yeah. So he's never been suspended before for a dirty hit. So there's no history of a dirty hit.
Yep.
So 2 games, I think that's fair. Three at tops.
No, he did get his 2 games. He had the call on the same day because the game happened so early. They actually had his hearing the same day, later in the night.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it was during the day. It was a day.
It was a morning game, right? It was 11 right. or 10 o'clock Pacific time game. So, and it happened in the second period. So it was nice and easy. I think they got the call right. Like,
yeah.
Very rarely am I thinking it's a right call against us when things like that. I think they got it right.
Now, do we think it's an intentional dirty hit?
I don't think so. I think, again, we're watching it in super slow-mo. I think his intent was to get lower on him. And then the puck got away from him. And he said, oh shit, how do I get out of this? Because if he goes through with that hit, if he goes through with the hip check, like he had originally lined up without the puck, he's instantly getting a 2-minute or a 4-minute penalty for interference or a late hit. But
exactly.
I don't think the intention was to be dirty. The intent was, I can go for a poke. Oh no, I can't. And then follows through with whatever the hell that shoulder, upper forearm shoulder to his head.
Now this question always gets me, because it's, did it cause significant injury to the other guy?
It did not.
That should also affect the suspension. I disagree. Because then you're punishing the outcome, not the penalty.
So I think there's two minds of this, because I do see what you're saying. Like, again, it was a dirty hit, and luckily Raymond came back and finished the game. He went to the quiet room. They checked him out. He was good to go. Came back, played the game, and almost won it for the Red Wings before they won it in overtime.
Yeah.
I think it should. There should be. Like, the way Department of Player Safety should look at it is, was the hit dirty? Yes or no? Did it cause injury? Yes or no? The hit was dirty. That's 2 games. Now, if Lucas Raymond was out for 3 games, okay, cool. He gets another game.
I don't know. I think you're punishing the outcome then.
I think you should balance both. And that's why I say, like, they should come out and say, yes, it was a dirty hit. He's got 2 games for the hit. and he's getting one additional game for the injury.
But I mean, we've been on the other side of this many times,
yep,
where a Canuck has gone and literally been taken out for 10 games or more, and they get two games.
It's hard. I get both sides of it.
It is. It's one of those. Do you penalize the action, or do you penalize the outcome, or do you penalize both?
Yeah. To me, I think you should
see it all.
I do understand. Again, I understand you need to penalize the action because,
yes,
again, that was, to me, that's clearly two games.
And that minimum. One, that's the hit you need to get out of the game.
100%. Right. And two games, Zadorov, next time he's going to go for that hit, he's going to think about it twice.
Yes.
That's a lot of money out of his pocket.
Yeah.
But if that hit happens and Raymond's now out for 2 weeks, does that change how many games Zadorov gets?
Yes.
I think it's fair to consider it, but I don't know if you need to punish equal to that.
Well, and as Dom says here, precedent was hit with the Trouba hit as well. Do we look at each hit individually, or do we look at what we've done in the past and apply that to what we're doing in the present? Does that make sense? How I said that?
Yeah, but to be fair, this was earlier this year. The hit he's talking about.
Yes,
where was it? It was an unnoticed elbow to a guy, took him out, and then Trouba gets two games.
Yeah,
it was a dirty play. Like it should have been a penalty on the ice. It wasn't.
And then they looked at it after the fact.
Yeah, that's what the Department of Player Safety should be doing. But now Dorofeev, easy for me to say, doesn't get injured, is that reviewed?
And again, that's the inconsistency that you and I rally about on a constant basis. And are we setting precedents and we have to follow those precedents? Or
is it a case-by-case situation?
Right?
But you say that, and then you can look back, and then, I mean, I'm going to cherry pick because I hate the guy. Look at Brad Marchand and the superstar treatment he gets.
Yeah. I mean, next time he gets a five in a game, he should be kicked out of the league.
But he won't.
How many?
Because he's a superstar.
But how many suspensions he's had?
But he goes long enough in between them that he's a reformed player. He's fine now. But then there's also, on the other end, there's players like Crosby and McDavid, where if you hit them too hard, automatically it's a penalty. And you need to find a balance.
Penalty. It's a soccer player.
And it drives me nuts watching the Oilers games when the Canucks play the Oilers, because after every whistle or after every time McDavid's looked at, they're all like, why wasn't that a penalty? And it's like, you need to balance it.
I don't know if we're biased, but
no.
I noticed that with a lot of teams that they seem to whine a lot after the whistle. And I don't know if it's we don't notice it or we're just biased against it and we don't see the Canucks doing it.
I noticed it when we're losing. Miller does it. But he seems to be the only one.
There's one player. It's
Miller and Petey. But Petey doesn't really complain. He just gives that alien death stare.
Oh, if that stare could kill?
Oh, like half the refs would be dead already.
Jeepers. That stare is like, holy, can you imagine playing poker with him and he gives you that stare? Ooh.
Be like, you know what? I fold. Never mind. It's okay.
That's like the Phil Ivey, I'm looking into your soul kind of stare.
But yeah, no, the problem is there's not enough consistency and there's not enough transparency. They're getting better by putting out these videos and tweeting about it. But it's still a problem.
She makes a good point.
You make a dirty hit, it causes injury similar to drunk driving. Bertuzzi, let's go back way back in the day. Does Bertuzzi get 82 games if Moore can play again?
If the dog pile doesn't happen.
We're ignoring that. But the dog pile, and again, it went to court because of this. The dog pile happened because of Bertuzzi's actions.
Yes, it was cause and effect, right?
If if I'm drunk and I punch someone and they fall off a building and end up dying, I get charged with murder. My actions cause that to happen.
Okay, I'm going to make a joke here, and it's probably really ill-timed, but dude, even when you're not drunk, you couldn't punch hard enough to knock somebody off a building.
It's fair. That's fair. But
you can see his face. He's like, where is he going?
Where is this going? Where is this going? Okay, we're good. We're clear. We're in the clear. No, usually I'm the one getting punched when drunk at parties. So it's one of those things where that's why I think it's so hard, because we normal, rational fans, when we're not watching the Canucks, is that we can understand that there is a lot of gray zone on this. Is that, yeah, there is, it makes sense to punish the hit. It makes sense to punish the injury, but how do you balance that? And say Zadorov's been suspended 7 times already.
Makes a difference.
It makes a difference, which it should. Does it always? No.
And we go back to Dee's comment about drunk driving. If this is your third offense and you cause an accident, you're probably going to jail.
Yeah.
For a long, long time.
If it's your first time and you cause an accident, you're probably going to go to jail for a short period of time and be on probation.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
yeah. So there's so much to it. And I would hate to be the people having to make these decisions, because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. There's no 100%. Win.
No. Even if 90% of the people think you got it right, you're still going to hear from that 10% in today's social media.
Well, in our 10% of irrational fans.
100%. And I don't blame them. Like, if that hit was the other way and if we were Red Wings fans and Zadorov didn't get any suspension from that, we'd be up in arms about it.
Well, exactly, right?
Right? Yep. So it's... No, I think for the first time in a long time that the Department of Player Safety made the right call. It's just, how do you make sure you stay consistent with that? Anything else before we take a look at this upcoming week, this next week?
No, let's look at the next week predictions. We need some music to go into the predictions. Like, for the segments, we need music.
Okay, you know what? You make me the music, and I'll get the production side handled.
Can I sing?
I mean, you can. We can run it. You know what? If we don't lose any audience members while you're singing, we'll keep it.
How about if I sing and we gain audience members?
Then we're stuck with you singing.
Okay, folks, you heard him. So, next week, at about 1:45, I want you guys to go out and each invite one friend to hear Kevin's The Old Man Sing. I'm going to write a tune.
You're going to write a tune?
I'm going to write it.
Oh, God. Okay.
And it's going to be the prediction tune.
All right.
I'll use AI.
Okay. All right. We're going to see how that works, folks. The worst part now is, as he said it, he's like, shit, I've committed to this now.
What have I done? I have
no clue what I'm doing. Now that we're into the predictions a bit after our lovely music,
yes.
This week we are taking on the Blackhawks, the Red Wings, and the Jets. 3 games this week. No back-to-backs. We got a game Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I say that very non-convincingly. Might be a Sunday game.
DJ, you're out there. Pay attention. This is how you do it. You look over to the other side. That's the other side, just so you know.
You look back at the camera
with real confidence, and you say, we're going to go 3-0.
Bold prediction. Mainly because if you listen to the rest of the NHL, the Canucks haven't played the Jets, so how can we claim first place yet?
Hold it. I just looked at the standings.
Yep.
Jets are in 8th in the league.
But we haven't played them yet.
They're at 67 points. We're at 76.
But how can that be? The Jets were going to be Canada's team.
67. That's 9 points.
And I mean, we do have 3 games played more than them.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Take it to the bank.
I wouldn't take it to the bank.
Jake,
I don't think
on that parlay for me.
You want me to take all three games?
Yep.
All right. I'm clearly going to do it right now.
No, we're in the middle of a freaking podcast. You can't start. The guy's degenerating, folks. He's a degenerate gambler.
Me? I take offense to that.
He's actually making the bet on the air. Is this even legal?
It doesn't matter.
Can someone make a judgment call?
Actually, I don't think I can. I can't make a parlay like that.
What?
Yeah.
You can.
Nope.
Why not?
I will explain later.
Okay.
I will explain later. Okay. But yeah, we're gonna go with we'll find a place that will allow us to do a three game parlay. And then we'll post the results on Sunday for you guys, because the last game is Saturday. The Jets.
We'll talk about how great my prediction was on Monday.
Well, we'll talk about it too, but we'll also post on our social media, especially X or Twitter or whatever the hell you want to call it, at @HSP_pod, Facebook at @HSP_pod. You guys might have also noticed a few things. We're slowly rebranding.
Great new logo Jake made up.
We are slowly rebranding.
Can you pull it up? Do you have it handy?
I don't know if I have it handy, but I can try to pull it up.
See if you can pull it up, because people, this is Jake. This is Jake. He did this, and it didn't take him that long. It wasn't like he worked on it for months.
I do not have it handy.
Oh, okay.
No, but I do have it. I do. Wait a second. I do have it. Where is it? I have it here. So you can see it right above the old man's head.
There it is. Look at that. Now, of course, I'm the younger one. Jake's the older guy, obviously.
Obviously, for those who might have been confused.
Why am I not wearing number 5? That's an oversight.
That is not an oversight. Trust me.
Okay.
There was mitigating circumstance. I tried to make you wear number 5. It did not look good.
Okay, fine. Fine.
But yeah, slowly rebranding. So if you see things that are changing, if you see a logo that's like, they look familiar, but that's not their logo. It is our logo. We're changing things up a little bit. Incorporating more, because when we made the logo, it was originally just Canucks-based. Despite us always wanting to talk about the Lions, it was always Canucks-based. So I kind of added in some flavors. There's some Easter eggs in there that you guys might notice.
If somebody can tell us, no, forget it, because you probably have told people some of the stuff, so they'll just guess it, so we can't.
I think I've only told you and one other person.
Yeah, so we can't.
I think you can, but that person who knows who they are
can't win. But then they'll tell somebody else, and they'll tell somebody else.
No, we'll know who that, no.
Folks, you have to be watching live, because
maybe
the way we communicate sometimes, we don't even have to have words. Okay.
Yeah, no, we won't do that. We'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk off air, apparently.
But you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram and on Twitch at JStreams, or on Twitch, it's at JStreams here. You can find the old man doing his other job, his other hat on, at Cavalli Channeling. You can also find him, if you're in the Alberta area, I guess, southern Alberta area, you can find him at Eastside Kia. If you're looking for a brand new vehicle, hit him up. You can find his Facebook page.
Or pre-owned.
You can find his Facebook page at, what is it called? Oh my goodness, I almost just said, like, Kevin Car Page, but I don't know what it is.
I don't either. What are you talking about?
Your car page.
My car page?
Car page.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Your car page.
It's Kevin Hughes - Car Sales Done Right.
There you go. So you can find him there. You talk to him about used vehicles, new vehicles, trading in your vehicle, any sort of vehicle questions, he can help you out, because I don't know anything about vehicles.
I don't either, but I try.
Yeah, see, that's fair. You know what? Also, do check out HughesSports.ca. As the CFL free agency kicks off tomorrow, we might put up an article at the end of the week, kind of discussing what the BC Lions have done, what the other teams have done, and kind of do a way too early predictions.
Anything big news, we'll post it as the day goes tomorrow. Let's face it, CFL free agency notoriously has been uncovered.
Well, and it's also underwhelming. There's not a lot of, like, all the big moves have really happened with trades. However, there is one thing I wanted to talk about that I totally forgot until right this second. Matthew Betts. Have you heard what's happening with him?
Detroit Lions is making a play for Mr. Matthew Betts. Unbelievable.
Contract.
Because he's damn good. But I thought he had another year before.
Well, so it's a futures. So everyone keeps talking about it, and it's a futures contract. I don't know what that means. I believe that means he can still play in the CFL for one more year if they choose not to sign him. But I don't know how that works, and I meant to do research into it, and then my day got busy with my 9 to 5.
Ah, okay. I'll look that one up.
It'll be very, very...
I know people that know people that understand this stuff.
Get to all the contract talk that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we'll have clarity on that next week, as well as all the big news from free agency. Hopefully the Lions make some big, big moves, more big moves. But until then, you guys have a wonderful night.
Look at us. On time.
And goodbye. Peace.